Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode, episode 33 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and today is part five, or what we often refer to as the penultimate episode of my six-part series on My Faves, which has been a series of my favorite things related to the Pixel line of products. This episode is one I've been looking for. This is my favorite Chrome browser extensions. We've done a lot with the Chrome browser in the past with flags. Today, we're going to talk about which extensions I have installed to get the most out of my Pixelbook, Pixel Slate, and even the Chrome browser on other devices such as the Mac or Windows PC. Before we get started with the show, a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to thank a listener, Maxime, from Quebec, Canada. I hope I pronounced your name properly, Maxime. He left a message on Facebook saying he had just discovered the podcast, how he was enjoying it, but then also had a question, which is actually a follow-up to a previous episode. So I will cover that question and my answer in the addendum segment at the end of the show. I also have a note about this episode's show notes. You're not going to find those in the traditional Google Doc format. They're going to be listed on the show notes page. So if you go to www.pixelpowerpodcasts.com/episode/0033, you'll just see the show notes listed on that page and you won't have to load or review a Google Doc. As always, the show notes are comprehensive and this week is no exception. I do have every extension listed as an image, which is the extension logo, along with some text down below and a link to that extension in the Chrome OS web store so that you can go and view that extension and or install that extension in your Chrome browser. I have a list of about 25 extensions, and some of you right now are saying, hey, Stephen, 25 extensions? Seriously? Do you have any room in your toolbar if you have 25 extensions installed? As you know, when we install an extension, we do get an extra tool in the upper right-hand corner of the toolbar on the Chrome browser. I do want to remind you, though, there is a wonderful option that will help you manage the number of icons that appear in your toolbar. And what you can do is simply place your cursor on top of one of the extension icons, perform a right click on that icon, and then you're going to see an option that says hide in Chrome menu. When you select that, that extension toolbar icon will actually be moved out of the main bar and it will go to the menu area of the Chrome browser. Now, when I say menu area, what I mean is when you click that vertical ellipses in the upper right-hand corner, when you click that, all of the extensions that you've used that option to hide in Chrome menu will now appear in your menu. So it's a great way to get rid of those toolbar items from your toolbar that you don't need to see on a regular basis. And you may not need to see them because maybe the extension you're using just performs some kind of background or is some background feature or function, which I do have a couple of those here I'm going to share with you. Or it's just one that maybe you use and once in a blue moon and you just don't need to be accessible or visible all the time. So remember that feature, right click on a toolbar icon and use the hide in Chrome menu option. Now, having talked about how you can manage those Chrome extensions, let's talk about the first Chrome extension I have listed. And these, again, in the show notes are listed in alphabetical order. So you'll find these quite easily. And then in my toolbar, though, they're arranged in how they're used. So the most frequently used are at the front. And if you remember, we only need drag and drop those toolbar icons in the toolbar to place them where we want them. So don't forget that. So there's a little tip for you. And just one more tip, you need to remember that Chrome extensions will generally only affect the items or objects that are within a Chrome browser window. If you have Chrome OS apps that live outside of the browser, most of these extensions won't work. So let's talk about my first Chrome extension. It's called One Click Resize Window, and it's a great tool when you need to resize your browser window to a specific size. Say you need an 800 by 600 or 1024 by 768 or some other resolution. And it's a great extension because you can create custom sizes. And once you create custom sizes, you can save them so that you can come back to them later. So if you have a need to resize your browser window, I recommend you check out OneClick Resize Window. The next one is a must-have for anybody on Chrome OS. This is the Clipboard History Pro. Everybody on every machine should have some kind of clipboard manager. As a matter of fact, if you're on your Pixel phone or an Android phone, you may have noticed with Gboard that Gboard actually includes a clipboard manager now, which is a great feature for another show. But if you need that feature on Chrome OS in your Chrome browser, then check out Clipboard History Pro. And as you copy items, it goes into a buffer and it maintains that buffer of copied items so that you can go back and find things that you've copied earlier. So that you've probably had that situation where you've copied something, you've gone over to paste it, then you go, wait a minute, I need to do something else. You get distracted, you copy something else, and then when you finally do paste it, it's not what you wanted. Clipboard History Pro will take care of that. The other thing I love about Clipboard History Pro is it includes a couple of features that I like. You can tag specific things that you've copied to be favorites. So you have like a little favorites option, and then you can sync things that you've copied into the cloud so that you can have them across all your devices. So I could have something like Pixel Powered Podcast synced to the cloud in my clipboard history, and it'll show up on all devices so that I don't have to keep typing that. So you can almost use it as a snippets manager, but there's a better tool for that that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. If you're a web developer or just anybody who does any kind of design, there are times when you're online, you need to know what color is on the page or try to find the color code for a specific color on the page. A great extension for that is something called ColorZilla. It's an advanced eyedropper and color picker. You can also create gradients with it, and it'll allow you to do a whole host of things with regard to web colors. So if you need to check out some colors on the web, check out ColorZilla. Use the dropper, suck up a color, and it'll give you the RGB and some other codes for that color if you need it. If you're enjoying dark mode on your Pixel phone and wondering how you can get that in your Chrome browser, there is an extension called Dark Reader. Dark Reader will make every website into dark mode. It's a little hinky on some sites, but it does work fairly well. And what I do appreciate about Dark Reader is that you can turn it on and off based on the site that you're visiting. So if it doesn't work for a specific site, you can turn it off and blacklist that site or whitelist specific sites. So it is a great tool, again, if you're trying to live more in a dark mode. If you happen to do a lot of writing in Google Docs and you're looking for a distraction-free mode, there is the distraction-free mode for Google Docs Chrome extension. It will give you a distraction-free mode, which means it will remove all of the user interface for Google Docs and just give you a plain sheet of virtual paper to write on. It will also allow you to change the background color and to a sepia or a dark mode. And it's got a few other features that just give you a better distraction-free environment with which to write. Once you're done, you can turn it off, you get all your tools back, and then you can go into editing mode. So it's a great way for those of you doing some creative writing or just want to get all that clutter out of your way when you're writing to clean up that screen. I recommend it. It is something I use on a regular basis. If you have a website and you're looking to download some video, some images or some sound specifically from that particular page you're visiting, check out Download Plus. Download Plus will work on most sites. It does not work on YouTube. There are other extensions that you can get outside the Chrome OS Web Store, which I'm not going to talk about, that allow you to download those YouTube videos. But for everything else, this will probably get for you. And it is a pretty good download manager. And again, will let you not just grab video, but allow you to grab audio and allow you to grab imaging. So check out Download Plus. This next one is one of those ones that I recommend that you hide from the Chrome toolbar, extension toolbar, because what it does is it kind of works in the background, and it is called Extensions Update Notifier. It will send you a notification when an extension has been updated. Generally, you never know when an extension has been updated, but with the notifier, you'll get a notification. Why would you want to do that? Well, because sometimes extensions get new features, and if one has just been updated, you might want to check it out and see if any new features were included so that you can take best advantage of that extension. So check out Extensions Update Notifier, and remember, this is a really good one. As a matter of fact, this along with distraction-free mode for Google Docs that I mentioned previously are both good ones to hide from the Chrome toolbar menu. If you want to take full screenshots of web pages, I highly recommend Fireshot. There is a free version and a paid version. I'm actually considering the paid version. It is on sale for 33% off right now. I haven't taken that plunge, but there are some features in there I like. Now, this will only take screenshots. This does not do screencasting or video or screen recording. I have another app for that I'll talk about. But I like it because it's simple, it's easy, it does just what I need it to do. And honestly, for now, the free version is pretty good. But again, those pro features are really starting to get me interested. And I may upgrade. Who knows? If I do, I will let you know. But for now, check out Fireshot for screen web shots. If you're worried about your privacy on the web and what's going on with websites, you probably want to download Ghostery. The Ghostery plugin is a privacy extension. It'll help block ads. It'll stop trackers. And supposedly, because of doing all that, it'll help speed your browsing. So if you're concerned about your security online, I recommend Ghostery. I will tell you that I do have problems with Ghostery on a regular basis for some of the things that I'm doing with the podcast because it tries to block every ad, every affiliate code, and sometimes that can cause issues. I do use some affiliate codes on occasion to see if I can generate a little revenue to help offset some costs. So sometimes it makes it difficult. So if you're dealing in that space and doing some web development with some ads, make sure you turn that off before you try and manage your page. Great thing is you can blacklist and whitelist sites with Ghostery as well. The next extension is pretty logical if you're on a Pixelbook or a Pixel Slate. It's the Google Docs Offline plugin. Extension. The Google Docs Offline extension, you simply install that and then it allows you on devices where the Chrome browser is installed to work offline on Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides. So you need that to make that feature work. So make sure you install that extension by default. If you're a longtime listener of the show and have been with me since pretty much the beginning, and you remember episode 15, I talk a lot about how Google Keep is very important to my workflow, my productivity, and for keeping me organized. So if you would like to know more about Google Keep, listen to episode 15. So why do I mention that? Because there is a Google Keep extension that is wonderful. If you need to capture something from the browser window and put it into Google Keep, get the Google Keep extension and you can save all that goodness that you find in a web browser right into Google Keep for later use. So again, check that out at the Chrome Web OS store. And again, check out episode 15 if you want to learn about how I use Google Keep. The next one I've listed is H264ify. Yes, it's actually that, H264ify. So it's H264ify. And what it does is it ensures that YouTube is streaming video at H.264 instead of an additional format such as VP8 or VP9 videos. It's just a little better quality video. Again, it's another one of those you want to hide from the toolbar and just let it do its magic in the background, but it does seem to provide a little better quality video, especially on the Pixelbooks. If you're tooling around online and you've got a lot of logins and passwords, you really need a good tool to manage that. And while the Chrome browser does have a built-in password manager, I've been using LastPass for many a years now. LastPass is a password manager that will create strong passwords for you, manage your passwords, manage your sites, let you manage secure information such as credit card information. It will actually help you fill in forms and allows you to save secure information in their secure server space. So it is a good tool. I am a subscriber of LastPass. I think it's $19 annually. It's been well worth it. I'm not a family user. I am the only one that's using that in my family. But if you're looking for something that provides a few more features than what the Chrome Passwords Manager does, then I recommend LastPass. Although I'm going to say the Passwords Manager in Chrome just gets better and better. I can see myself one day not having to install the LastPass extension. I mentioned the color picker earlier if you're a web developer. I also want to mention one called Page Ruler. And what it is it is a ruler for the Chrome browser that lets you measure items on the screen. It's very intuitive. It's very easy to use. You can take it, click on it, draw a ruler to get the exact pixel dimensions of something on a web page. If you have need of that kind of thing, I think you're going to like it. So check out Page Ruler Extension. If you're worried that your password has been hacked or that there's been a breach and your password has been affected, there's an extension for that that I highly recommend everybody install. This is another one of those that you can hide in the background, but it's Password Checkup. And its sole feature is to look at the password when you're logging into a secure site and then verify to make sure that that password has not been affected. I'll get my tongue working here in a minute. Thank you very much for having patience with that. I have had it pop up a couple of times on me, and I knew immediately right then and there that I needed to modify the password for that site. So if you want to make sure that you're secure and your passwords have not been breached and they're not out there, install the Password Checkup extension. I think it's no secret. I write a lot. I am working on a book right now, and I write for a living quite a bit for my regular occupation. I write for the podcast, and I maintain a blog, and I could not do my writing without Pro Writing Aid. Pro Writing Aid is an excellent grammar checker. It's one that I have a lifetime subscription that I purchased. I got a really good deal on it. I think on Black Friday, I was able to drop the price down a little bit, and I don't have to pay an annual fee. I just bought the one-time fee, and they have a wonderful Chrome extension that allows Pro Writing Aid to work on about any site that you're typing. It also will work in the web version of Outlook. It also now works with Google Docs, which has been very exciting for me to play around with that. That's in beta, but it is working really well. So if you are looking for a good grammar checker for your browser, check out Pro Writing Aid and then install the extension. I do have some additional information in the show notes. I've got a banner ad so that if you want to try out a free version, you can do that. So make sure you check that out. I will say before Pro Writing Aid, I was using Grammarly. If nothing else, Grammarly, even as an extension in its free version, is pretty good to have to just get rid of it. It'll catch some of those nitinoid mistakes you may make. But either way, I would check out both of those in the free version and then decide if you want to upgrade. You will find a much better value, though, with Pro Writing Aid than you will Grammarly. It's a much better value, and it's less expensive. And as you know, I love the less expensive. All right, we're at the halfway point. Let's talk about the last half of our extensions that I really like. And the next one is Quick Search for Google Drive. Install this, hide it from the toolbar, and what it does is lets you quickly search files in Google Drive. You simply type drive space, and then you type in what your search is, and it will give you a listing of what it thinks you're looking for right in the address bar. It's very convenient. It's great to have, and it lets you search for Google Drive files without actually having to go to the drive.google site. I mentioned earlier an extension that will allow you to save items to Google Keep. There's also a Save to Google Drive Chrome extension, which will capture web content or a screen and save that to Google Drive. It's pretty handy, especially when you want to save something that's going to be used outside of Google Keep. Google Keep is not the best of letting you work with external tools. It's designed to capture notes within its system. But if you've got something you want to capture in a web browser and you think you're going to use it for different applications or multiple applications, then you definitely want to use the Save to Google Drive Chrome extension. Check that out on the Chrome Web OS Store. This next one is the one I alluded to. This next one, I think it was in the last episode. It's something I'm just loving. It's a brand new extension I've added. It's the Text Expander Chrome extension. I love Text Expander. I will tell you that I've been using Text Expander on a Mac for years. When it came to the Chrome browser, I was in heaven. It allows you to quickly insert snippets. So I can, for instance, type lowercase ppp and it will replace those three letters with Pixel Power Podcast, all formatted properly. That's just one example. I have some other ones. Let's see, what's another snippet I have that would give you a good example? Oh, here's one. I think it's at PPP. Yes, it is. At PPP will automatically type Stephen at PixelPowerPodcast.com. Much easier to type at PPP than it is to type Stephen at PixelPowerPodcast.com. So check out Text Expander. Do know that that is a paid subscription model. If you've had an old version of Text Expander, you can probably get that for $20 a year now, lifetime, which is what happened with me. I was grandfathered in at that. If not, I think they're running a special right now. I think it's $30 per year. There are, if you're looking for some other text expansion options, there are some others available for the Chrome browser. None of them are as good as Text Expander. There is one free version out there that's not bad, but it doesn't sync from device to device, so that makes that a little quirky. So I'm still gonna recommend Text Expander. I think it's the best text expansion software for Chrome OS, and it just really brings some amazing productivity to your Pixelbook. Now, I talked about managing and organizing your toolbar extensions. There's also a great tool to manage and organize your browser bookmarks and tabs, and that is called Toby for Chrome, T-O-B-Y for Chrome. It's an extension, and I really like it. What it allows you to do is create browser tab groups. So when I'm working, for instance, to create an episode of the Pixel Power Podcast, I often have the show notes open, the site open, Google Drive open to specific folders so that I have quick access to files. I generally have a couple of news sites open. Well, the great thing about Toby for Chrome is I can create that workflow and then simply click one button and it'll open up all of those tabs for me so I'm ready to work. I have several of those tab groups created. I have one for when I'm recording or preparing the Pixel Power Podcast. I have one for when I'm writing the book that I mentioned earlier, which has a lot of files associated with it. I have one for work I call Work Productivity, which opens up browser windows for Outlook for Chrome, Google Drive, my work account. It opens up Messenger so I can get my messages. It opens up Microsoft Teams. It just opens up all the things that I need to be productive at work in the browser. It's a great, great tool. It looks great. There are a lot of these types of things out there, but Toby just looks good. And finally, the other thing I love about Toby is it syncs across devices with a free account. Once again, if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, you know I love Todoist. I spent a lot of time in episode 17, link in the show notes, talking about Todoist and how it helps me be productive on my Pixel book as well as my Pixel phone. So check out episode 17. But there is a wonderful extension for Chrome called the Todoist Chrome extension. Well, that makes sense. And it allows you to have access to your Todoist list within your Chrome browser. You simply click on the icon and it drops down and gives you your entire Todoist list of items. It's really handy, works well. It also allows you to send quickly a web page to Todoist by simply right-clicking on the web page and then clicking the link that says add to Todoist. So you do get a couple of cool functions and features there. So check out Todoist. Again, it is a wonderful tool for staying managed and organized. And the next extension that I have is a companion to Todoist. It is Todoist for Gmail, and it adds some additional features within Gmail to export those emails to your inbox in Todoist. So if you have an email that says, hey, you need to do this by a certain time, you can simply click a button, add a little information, and send that off to Todoist so that when you're reviewing your to-do list, it will reveal that email. The great thing about it is once it's in Todoist, you can finally go back, or you can click on it and go back to the original Gmail email. So it's a great tool. Check out Todoist for Gmail extension. I do use a ad blocker. I use uBlock Origin. uBlock Origin is probably one of the better advertising blockers out there. I find it really, as they claim, is easy on the CPU, easy on the memory. It works well. It's easy to use. It works in the background. Again, if you are working in ads or doing some development, you may need to turn it off. But I don't find this nearly as draconian as maybe ghostery. I think it works better. I think it's easier to whitelist and blacklist sites. So I do keep that installed and running fairly regularly. And I found that it just does a great job, especially with some sites out there that are just throwing ads in my face constantly. I do not appreciate that. I appreciate that people need ads to sometimes keep their site going, but I don't appreciate when I'm reading something and I get a pop-up that says I have to watch a video and I try and get rid of that ad and you can't. uBlock Origin is, I think, one of the best ad blockers out there. If you're looking for something, again, that's easy to use and doesn't seem to get in the way as much, I recommend the uBlock Origin extension. Okay, we've only got two more extensions to go, and the next to the last one is one called User Agent Switcher. What is a User Agent Switcher? It allows you to identify yourself to a website as another browser type or device. So for instance, here's a great example of why you might want to do this. If you go to Instagram in your web browser on a Pixel Chrome device, one of the things you're going to find immediately is that you can't post an image to Instagram. It recognizes that you're on a desktop computer, and for whatever reason, Instagram has just chosen not to allow us to upload photos from a desktop computer. However, using User Agent Switcher, you can spoof that site to say, hey, I'm not really on a Chrome OS Pixelbook. I'm actually on an Android Chrome browser. And then what it happens is you reload that site and you finally see the option to load the image so that you can post to Instagram. So that's a reason why you might want to use the User Agent Switcher. And the last extension on my list is one that has a single task. I really like what it does. I mentioned taking screenshots earlier. I mentioned with the extension that I recommended that you couldn't do video recording. That's because I think this extension does it better. All this extension does is record your screen, and it's called Video Screen Recorder. It's pretty much click and record. I like it. It's simple. It does what it's supposed to do. And I don't have to worry about an obscene number of features that's confusing. So if you're just looking for a quick way to video your screen, the things that are happening on your screen, then check out Video Screen Recorder. Just a little caveat, it will only save it as a WebM video. You will need to convert that if you need something else. But WebM is easy to convert to MP4 or even a GIF. And those are my favorite extensions. Those are the extensions I have installed and synced across all of my devices. I would love to hear which ones you use. And at the end of the addendum, I'm going to tell you how you can do that. But start making that list now. You've heard me talk about the extensions I like. Make a list of the ones you use. And let's have a little conversation online about which ones I should be checking out. And who knows, maybe I'll make a recommendation of your extension on a future show. And that brings us to the addendum. Let's talk about what's happening in my Pixel-powered life and probably yours as well for some of these items. For instance, Android 10 was released for Pixel phones. Please tell me everybody's downloaded Android 10 on your Pixel phone and having a great time with it. I am not going to talk about Android 10. I did a whole episode on Android 10. That is in episode 27. So if you want to hear my thoughts about the features of Android 10, which was called Android Q then, check out episode 27. Wow, I've done a lot of referencing of other episodes. It's really exciting to know that I have enough episodes that I can send you back to episodes to get some great content. So be sure and check out some of those old episodes, especially if you're new or you came in late to the podcast. Now, I think you will find some of those shows may not be as polished or as sharp, but I think the content's there and the information's there. And if nothing else, check out the show notes. You'll probably find some good information there as well. Last week, I talked about my debate around social media platforms, and I was going to start reducing social media platforms. Well, guess what? I didn't reduce. I added one. But here's the thing. I think I really like this one. I will tell you that I get a lot of listeners from Reddit. I've had a lot of episodes lately where Redditors have really enjoyed what's happening in those episodes. And so I thought, well, let me check out and see if I can create a subreddit. What's involved with creating a subreddit? And I did create a subreddit. It is the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit. So simply go to reddit.com/r/Pixel Power Podcast, and that'll take you to the new subreddit. I really had a blast with it. I took some time and did things like creating special flares for post or for users, so you can add a flare to your account. I have themed it and color-coded it so it matches nicely with the Pixel Power Podcast regular website. Really, again, just enjoying it. I even dropped in a chat room where we can talk real time. Now, there's a grand total of one user in there right now. I just made it open to the public last night. So as I'm recording that recording this episode, that would have been, let me see, that would have been September 7th because I'm recording on the 8th. And if you would like to join me in the Reddit space, please come over, do that, become a, what I classify a listener. And then what I'd love for you to do, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the extensions, share with me the extension you're using. What you're going to do is you're going to find a Reddit post for this episode, including the artwork for the episode, and then underneath, or you can reply, and in those comments, you can share which extensions you think I should have thought about. You can include links. We can just have a big time learning, sharing, and then we can have a conversation around those. And don't forget the chat room's available. So if you see there's four or five people in there, check the chat room, see if you want to talk live. I'm considering using the chat room maybe when I start recording. I know a lot of podcasters will have an open and live chat room. I'm not sure how I can manage that because that's just me doing this, but we might have some fun later. We might just do a live episode one time if we start to develop. I will say I am enjoying subreddit more than I did creating like the pages for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagram, and the Google group folks, I think is going to die. I'm probably going to get rid of that. If we've had like no actions in the Google groups, and I think Reddit is where it's going to be. So if you have a Google group account for the Pixel Power Podcast, you should probably count on that being turned off soon. As an update to the last episode where I talked about flags, I found a couple of new flags just since the last episode, and I want to share those with you, and I really like these flags. They're pretty cool. So I believe last time I shared the show previews of running apps when hovering over the shelf flag, which is the hashtag shelf-hover-previews flag, but I want to share a new one that I think is really cool. It's called the Tab Hover Cards and the Tab Hover Card Images. So you know how you have your tabs in your Chrome browser? With these two flags turned on, you can hover your cursor over the tabs and it'll give you a preview of what's underneath in those tabs. It's really kind of cool. I recommend you check it out. I also have one more little one for you. It's called the Show a Smaller, Denser Shelf in Laptop Mode Flag. I love these titles. The actual flag name for that or code for that is hashtag shelf-dense-clamshell. I know you got none of this. This is all in the show notes. And what I like about it is it reduces the shelf icons by about 75%, just gives you a little bit more room when you're in laptop mode. When you go back to tablet mode, they go back to the original size so that you can easily tap on them. So check out those two new flags since last time. As we learn about new flags, I'll add those to future episodes or editions of the addendum. Also mentioned last episode that desks for Chrome OS beta were out and working well. And I think I said there weren't any keyboard combinations. I was mistaken. There actually are keyboard combinations for desks now. So you can switch left and right for up to four virtual desks. And you can do that by holding the search plus a bracket left or bracket right. That will move between the virtual desks. Really slick. I'm really starting to enjoy it. It's taken a while for it to get in my muscle memory, but it's really starting to work well. You can then add a new desk. So if you're on a specific desk and you know you don't have one of the four maximum that you can create, you can add one with search, shift, plus, and then that will add a brand new desk. If you want to remove a virtual desk, it's a similar process. It's search plus shift plus minus. I bet you didn't see that one coming. And then finally, let's say you have a window on one virtual desk and you want to move it over to another virtual desk. No longer do you have to three-finger swipe up and drag that into one of those virtual desks. You can make sure that that's your active window and then hold down search, shift, and then bracket left or bracket right, and it'll move it to one of the virtual desks, either to the left or to the right. So thank you, Google, for the keyboard shortcuts. Again, I'm slowly starting to work those into my muscle memory, but I see myself using these on a regular basis. At the beginning of the episode, I mentioned Maxime and his question, and I'm going to reveal what it is now. He had a great question about using the Pixel Slate in tablet mode with the cover. Now, I have the complete interaction that we had online in at the Facebook group. There is a link on the website, so go ahead and click on that. And I tell you that because I actually decided to take a few pictures to show him what I meant in what I was talking about. So the question was, or what I said before, which I believe is, well, we know it to be inaccurate now, is you can't fold the Pixel Slate keyboard back and force the Pixel Slate into tablet mode. That technically is correct, but what you can do is set it back in such a way where you're folding it back over, you're propping the tablet on top of the back of the keyboard in keyboard mode, and if you get it just right, it will actually flip into tablet mode. But here's the thing. You have to get it just right. I even showed Maxime a picture online where I thought it was right and it still hadn't adjusted to tablet mode. It's got something to do with the magnets, where the magnets are located. But once I shifted it and got just right, then while the laptop was being propped up by the keyboard upside down, the keyboard's actually upside down on the table. It's kind of hard to explain. You'll see it in the picture. But if you get that just right, it will go out of laptop mode into tablet mode. So first of all, Maxime, thank you for saying you believe maybe I wasn't entirely correct. You are correct. And but I am glad that I had a chance to play around with that, discover what you were talking about. And we did find there's still some limitations to that. So again, thanks for that feedback. It's that, you know, it's that feedback where we all learn so much more. So if you hear me say something that's not right, I am challenging you to let me know. I've got thick skin. It's going to just make me a better Pixel user. And it's probably going to help all of us learn more about our devices and get the most out of them. This last week also, I needed to create a list of all of the apps I had on my Android phone. And much like extensions, that's quite the list. So I didn't want to sit there and manually type a list of all the Android apps. And sure enough, there's an app for that. It's called the List My Apps. And you know what? This is really a cool app. There's a link in the show notes. It's called List My Apps. You install it. It will tell you on the Pixel device that it may not work. I think because it's a newer version, it saw version 10, which is what I'm on. And it probably has some kind of version control saying, hey, I'm not sure I'm going to work on this. Anyway, it worked perfectly. And it will get a list of all of the apps on your phone and create them in either a text file or a markdown list, which is what I used. And then you can export that to another application. So what I did is I exported it to IA Writer using the share sheet. It works great. I didn't have to retype a whole list of apps for my phone. So check it out if you have a need for that. I think I'm just going to leave it on there because I could see myself using that, especially with the podcast, on several occasions. I'm super excited this week. My daughter texted me and says she's switching from an iPhone to a Pixel 3. I tried to convince her to wait for the 4, but you know, the Pixel 3s are at such a good deal right now. And her iPhone was completely dead. I was just thrilled that she had decided to make the jump from the iPhone to the Pixel 3. I think she's really going to enjoy it. Again, great deals on the Pixel 3 right now. I've got a link in the show notes for the Amazon purchase, which is also good. And so she bought it outright, unlocked, and got a text today saying that a few of her coworkers are planning on going to Pixels. So I think more and more people are starting to make that Pixel plunge and moving away from those iPhones. No surprise, the person I wanted to share all my apps with and the tip I just shared with you, the My List apps, that list went to my daughter. So I will be helping her. She's already run into one problem, which is something we all struggle with. It's getting Outlook to work correctly on the Pixel phone. And as you all know, Android Auto is not working on my Pixel 3. I have the Pixel 3 XL. Even with the new Android 10, I put in a troubleshooting ticket and I got the most bizarre response. And I have the screen capture from this response listed in the show notes. You need to check this out. If anybody can read that and explain to me what they're expecting me to do for my Android Auto not working, I would love to know what you think. And then finally, I got tired of losing things it's kind of related because there is an Android app. I decided that I was tired of misplacing my keys, tired of misplacing my wallet, and I knew my daughter had been using the Tile line of products and decided to buy a Tile 4-pack, link in the show notes if you're interested, of the Tiles that have the removable batteries. And I have those on devices and have to say I really enjoy them. I like what they do. I would recommend Tile to anyone who misplaces things on a regular basis. I like the map feature. I like that it realizes where was the last time your phone connected to a Tile. So it kind of keeps a track and a history of where those devices are. So I would recommend it. It is not a Google specific product. Tile is available for a couple of different platforms. But if you're looking for a way to keep tabs on things, be sure to check out Tile. And again, I have a link to what I bought, which was a 4-pack, which was pretty affordable. And that wraps up this episode of the Pixel Power Podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning what my favorite Chrome extensions were and taking a little journey down my Pixel Power life. If you'd like to send some feedback, remember you can do that at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. You can also leave a voice message by clicking in the show notes. I have a link right there, or you can use the Anchor app and click leave a message, and you can do that too, like Joanna did a couple of weeks ago. You can also send a tweet and use the hashtag Pixel Power Podcast, and then really come on out and join me on Reddit. And that is the subreddit Pixel Power Podcast. A search for Pixel Power Podcast will pop that right up for you. And then if you're so inclined, you see other listeners, join the chat room. And thank you once again for listening to the Pixel Power Podcast. Our numbers are growing slowly. Would love it if you would share an episode with somebody and help increase our listenership. So more listeners just encourages me to do more episodes, and I'm anxious to do those. I've got some great episodes planned. I've got a really fun one coming up later in the fall with a co-host, and so excited to be here sharing how we can live our pixel-powered life together and be more productive. Have a great week or two, everyone.